The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 18th chapter. Peter came and said to Jesus, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "Not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom from the heavens may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his Lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the Lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But the same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, 'Pay what you owe.' Then his slave fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?' And in anger, his lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Good morning. Grace and peace to each of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. A preacher's job on Sunday morning is difficult. I have to choose between a variety of topics these various readings raise. I can only preach one sermon, but I have to tell you before I begin with my comments today on Matthew's gospel that there is a glaring mistranslation in the first reading. It's in Genesis 50, verse 20. I can't tell you what that translation is right now and what it means in the original Hebrew, but I invite you instead to read the next version of the quill to find an answer to the problem. You heard it here first, the first attempt to sell the quill at Queen Anne Lutheran Church. My sermon today will instead address a difficult response Jesus provides to Peter at the beginning of our gospel. Last Sunday, we celebrated Rally Day. Rally Day, as you know, was a time of great celebration for us. We celebrated new staff. We celebrated the induction of 8 new members, two more of whom will join us today. And we celebrated new possibilities for our ministry and life together. By contrast, our readings suggested anything but celebration last Sunday. That is because they all talked about things like sin, transgression, iniquity, wickedness, works or desires of the flesh. It would seem then the cause of these readings was anything for us but celebration. However, I argued that the readings were still helpful. They offered us a sober reminder that life together as a community of faith can be difficult, that challenges will inevitably face us on the road ahead. Conflict will inevitably arise, all of us at one time or another, including, yes, even your pastor, will stumble. There is, in fact, no community, none in the Bible, none today, and sadly, not even Queen Anne Lutheran Church, that is perfect. And yet, I maintained we had great cause for celebration anyway. For as the author of Ezekiel, our first reading last Sunday, reminded us, God would rather forgive than punish. God would rather forgive than punish. And that, in addition to all the other things we celebrated last Sunday for Rally Day, gives us true cause for celebration. Our God, as we'll hear from Jonah next week, is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Our God is a forgiving, merciful God. Today's gospel invites us to imitate God, to imitate the God who forgives again and again and again by forgiving one another again, again, and again. According to Matthew 18, verse 21, our first verse from today's gospel reading, Peter came and said to Jesus, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive?" Notice Peter's question. The question is not whether I should forgive, but how often should I forgive? How many times? What's Jesus' reply? 7 times 7. 11? 7 times 11 is 77. You're right. This is why I'm a pastor and not a mathematician. Thank you, Magdalena, for bringing that point out. I will remember this. 7 times 11 is 77. So, not 7, but 77 times. What do you think those numbers would have signified to Jesus, a rabbi, and his contemporaries? Why would he choose the number 7? Infinity. So the number 7, according to Jewish tradition, is God's number. Why would that be? Because, according to Genesis chapter 1, God creates the world in 6 days, and on the 7th, God stops. Or according to some translations, which I prefer, God rests. That 7th day subsequently became God's number. It represents perfection and completion. If you times that number by 11, you get 77, which is Jesus' way of using hyperbole or exaggeration to make a point. You shouldn't just forgive as God forgives, say, 7 times, but as God really forgives, you should forgive 77 times, an infinite, endless number of times. That's a very radical claim. Consider the problem that Jesus' answer to Peter poses. For example, last week, the state of Ohio executed Gary Ota for a double murder he committed in 1992. Defenders of Ota, including an anti-execution activist named Sister Helen Prejean, appealed. They claimed that Ota's execution should be stayed due to psychological problems Ota had. But in the end, the U.S. Supreme Court declined to halt the execution. Otto, on Wednesday of last week, was terminated by lethal injection, the first of another 24 executions planned by the state of Ohio between now and 2020. Here's my question for each of you today. Does Jesus' response to Peter be carried through or, in view of Jesus' answer to Peter, stayed? Roy Adams, the author of a wonderful article in a magazine for pastors on Matthew 18, verse 21, our gospel for today, has a thoughtful response to this difficult question. He says, and I quote, "My sense is that in severe cases of personal injury or trauma, like murder, equally good people may respond differently." Do you hear that? Equally good people may respond differently. Adam cites examples of Stephen, the famous early martyr of the Christian faith, who, according to Acts 7, begged God to forgive those who stoned him to death. Of course, we might also think of Jesus, who, on the cross, according to Luke 23, 24, while he's being crucified, says, and some of you know this phrase, "Forgive them, Father, they know not what they do." Forgive them, Father, they know not what they do. But, as Adams points out, the prophet Zechariah, dying under circumstances similar to Stephen, had a different response. He didn't ask for his enemies to be forgiven. According to 2 Chronicles 24, his last words were these: "May the Lord see this and call you into account." May the Lord see this and call you into account. Now, I don't know about you, but I have to say, if anyone brought serious harm to my mother or father, or to my younger brother, I'm not sure I could forgive them. I'm not sure I could forgive them. Perhaps some of you, understandably, struggle with the same problem and feel the same way. But that, dear friends, is not what Jesus is talking about in Matthew 18, our gospel for today. In context, you'll recall our gospel message from last week, Jesus had just been discussing conflicts arising between members of the church and how to deal with them, including, in extreme circumstances, the possibility for expelling members of the church when, say, their behavior has become divisive. Now, don't worry, I don't have a list of some of you who I'm planning to expel from this congregation. But here's the point. With that discussion behind them, Peter switches to the more mundane frictions and infringements that occur as we live together in community. The tiny slings and arrows, as Shakespeare would say, that we let fly at one another as members of the congregation. And boy, have I seen them. Not as your pastor simply, but as a member of other congregations. I've seen a number of these tiny infringements. Let me give you a couple examples. In my home congregation, we have a rail around the altar that's in the shape of a horseshoe. An interim pastor several years ago removed the middle piece of that railing. And all I could think was, boy, as the pastor of this church, that is not a hill I want to die on. Do you know what I mean? That kind of modification can create friction and conflict in the life of a congregation. That's one example. Can you think of others, say, in the life of this congregation or in the life of another congregation of which you've been a member? Maybe some of you are thinking, where should I start? Let me try a couple. What happens if, without telling you, I move furniture in the narthex? God forbid. Now we laugh, but these sometimes raise serious conflicts in churches, including ours. Let me give you another example. What happens if I say something that offends you in a sermon? What happens if I handle a class discussion in a way that doesn't work for you? Or what happens if the worship and music committee changes language in our liturgy? I see one person back there going, oh my gosh. These are the sources of actual conflicts in our congregation. Some of you know, perhaps from other congregations, the intense divide debates over contemporary versus traditional worship services can go. And in context, this is the kind of thing that Jesus is talking about in today's gospel. He's talking about the frictions and infringements that arise in daily congregational life. And guess what? They aren't unique to my home congregation or to Queen Anne Lutheran Church. They exist in every church that has ever existed, going all the way back, as the interaction between Jesus and Peter in today's gospel shows, to the beginning of Christianity in the first century. So what, you might ask, is the good news here? What's the gospel or the takeaway? Jesus' response to Peter is not a demand that we do something impossible. It's simply a way of helping us live together in community. Good people, as Roy Adams points out in this article, fall on both sides of the fence when it comes to whether heinous crimes like murder or abuse can be forgiven. That is a question given, say, to the consideration of Gary Otis' execution in Ohio. And that question I leave to each of you this morning to contemplate thoughtfully for yourselves. In Matthew 18, however, Jesus is offering a perspective not on state executions, but on events of everyday life, at home, in school, in our workspaces, and more specifically at church. Infractions, Adams says, can in time literally, and some of you have this experience, approach 7 a day, 70 over time, and even 490. How's that for math? And what was presumably meant then by what Jesus said was for his followers, forgiveness under such circumstances? Jesus seems to be suggesting that such forgiveness in these circumstances, in the life of a congregation, should become for us second nature, a habit, a lifestyle, to the extent that we stop keeping score. And that's the gospel for today. We are invited as followers of the way into a new way of being together, recognizing that conflicts in church life will inevitably arise, but letting go of these conflicts and living into our life together in Christ. Now, this doesn't mean that you should simply become a doormat if someone says or does something in our faith community that really bothers you. Certainly, I've had to say things on occasion in the various faith communities to which I've belonged. But when it comes to the minor daily infractions of life together, what freedom, what absolute incredible freedom to forgive, to let go, to move on, or as Adam says, to stop keeping score. This is the life to which we are called as a congregation. Life together, especially as a family of faith, brings with it all kinds of mundane, ordinary frictions and infringements. But rather than keeping score, or worse, leaving, as the world often does, Jesus calls us to venture forth in community, forgiving one another as we go, just as God forgives us again and again and again. The gospel here is that when we live into that life and it becomes habitual, we are freed as Christ calls us to be freed. This morning, I'd like you to think of a small infraction, something you've experienced perhaps here at Queen Anne Lutheran Church, a word that was a little cutting, an experience in a meeting or a class, perhaps, for example, over the budget or some such other matter. I'd like you to call that to mind. And then I'd like you to pray with me. Gracious God, you are the source and foundation of forgiveness in our lives. According to Ezekiel, you forgive again, again, and again. Your desire is not punishment, but as Jesus himself says in John 10:10, life, and beyond that, freedom. Inspire us this morning to forgive an infraction or minor infringement against us, an uncareful word, a bad look, a disagreement in a meeting or during class. Help us to let go as you have let go. Help us to make forgiveness, when appropriate, habitual. Help us to imitate you. For all these things we pray. Amen.